is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
Are you coming to the train, led by a man who wants to break the chains? Establishment is terrified, they can't control his reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train, where brave men called out for a wall built by crane? Media is terrified, they can't control his reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train, where brave men called out the fools who lead in vain? Lobbyists are terrified, they can't control our reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train? Wear a hat of hope, side by side with me. Make America great again, break the chains. Let's meet this year on the Trump train.
And we are going to be respected by the world again and not laughed at like we're all a bunch of stupid people being led by incompetent politicians. It's not going to go on any longer.
Are you coming to the train to take our great country back again? Join the revolution, break the chains. Let's meet this year on a Trump train.
We're going to win at the borders. We're going to win, and we're going to keep winning. And we are going to make America great again, greater than ever before. Greater than ever before.
May 5th, 2024, you're listening to Revolution Radio, the best radio network on the internet, and this is Dr. Johnny, keeping the truth alive, and I ask you to please be generous with your contributions to this network at freedomslips.org. Dr. Johnny gives every month through the Patreon account that I started, and you can set one up too. Just set one up and automatically donate $5 or more per month. It's so easy. So get a Patreon account today right on freedomslips.org to keep Dr. Johnny on the air. And if you don't donate to Revolution Radio, please give a generous donation to Dr. Johnny. All the hosts do not get paid, and we've really been working hard to bring you the truth and the news you can use so you can have a better life for yourself and your family. You are now connected to the Master Survivor Beyond PhD Command Center, where Dr. Johnny with the bald eagle eye is keeping a vigilant watch on Washington, D.C., our country, and our solar system. That's right. You're now listening to the Master Survivor, bringing you hope, health, and happiness, but most important of all, the truth about our world and providing the tools to help you survive and thrive. I'm your host, Johnny Delirious, laboratory naturopathic doctor, best-selling author, Master Survivor, and virus recovery expert. Well, folks, this is from the Vigilante Fox, and I wanted to reveal to you about the U.S. Senate letter that was written and sent to Joe Biden. This is a very formal letter written by the U.S. Senate. In a shocking turn of events, all Republican senators, 49 to be exact, led by Senator Ron Johnson, have formally urged President Joe Biden to withdraw his support in expanding the World Health Organization's pandemic authority. The letter sent ahead of the 77th World Health Assembly, scheduled from May 27th to June 1st, 2024, in Geneva, Switzerland, argues that the World Health Organization's mishandling of the COVID-19 crisis underscores the need for major reforms rather than granting it more power. The senators warn that such an expansion of their power, especially in our country, could threaten U.S. sovereignty and constitutional rights, emphasizing that any international agreement enhancing whose authority should be treated as a treaty requiring two-thirds supermajority vote in the Senate for approval. This is big news, folks, and I just wanted to let you know, Dr. Merrill Nass has been talking about this. So he says that 49 senators, every Republican senator in the Senate, have told President Biden to withdraw U.S. support for the treaty and the IHR amendments. But if the U.S. does go forward with the treaty, will have to be submitted to the Senate for its advice and consent, requiring a two-thirds vote, which is an appropriate threat. So this is big news, folks, because, you know, with the Senate coming forward and sending him a formal letter, the WHO cannot come in and mandate vaccines on this country. It has to go and be voted by a two-thirds consent in the Senate if Joe Biden were to sign such a declaration granting WHO's authority over our country. So this is great news. I just want you to know, thank our senators, especially the Republican ones. 49 of them, very few Democrats signed up on it, but 49 of the Republican senators had sent a formal letter to Joe Biden. So this is great news. We probably won't have another pandemic, but they're pushing for it. The deep stater will not mandate another pandemic in the U.S., nor will these deep state Democrat judges get away with their weaponization of the courts on President Trump and other patriots. A three-officer panel at Camp Bloss, Guam, found Fulton County, Georgia, Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee guilty of treason and sentenced him to death by hanging, my JAG sources in Pensacola, Florida revealed. As reported on an earlier show, JAG investigators enforcing a military arrest warrant apprehended McAfee on April 3rd outside Fulton County Courthouse in Georgia, in Atlanta, after which they brought him to JAG's Pensacola Processing Center, and then later sent him over to Guam to Camp Bloss. McAfee was at first charged with defrauding the United States of America and election interference, but JAG upgraded the charges to treason after the Vitrillic judge, he couldn't keep his mouth shut, folks, let me tell you. This judge, this McAfee, admitted during an interrogation that he had preordained Trump's guilt, President Trump's guilt. The investigator said, "What?" McAfee replied, "I hate Trump. I've hated him all my life." The 34-year-old jurist who had served just 1 year on the bench told JAG investigators, "I dreamed about hurting Trump, and when my chance came, I took it." Though inexperienced, the novice judge, an Emory Law School graduate, should have stayed silent, but, like I said, he couldn't keep his mouth shut. But his animosity for Trump eclipsed his better judgment. It was as though he had a compulsive urge to unburden himself of pent-up rage for our Commander-in-Chief, President Trump. So the investigator said, "So, Mr. McAfee, when you were randomly assigned the fake racketeering case against President Trump, he was already guilty in your eyes?" the investigator asked. "He was born guilty," said McAfee, "and it wasn't random. I picked for that and begged for that case." "That's very helpful. Thank you very much, Mr. McAfee," said the investigator. This was in Pensacola. McAfee was returned to his cell, where he remained until Wednesday, mornings, overseen by lead special counsel. He's already in Guam. They sent him to Guam. And then the lead special trial counsel, Rear Admiral Jonathan Stevens, was in charge of the trial as the prosecutor. And representing himself, McAfee, in opening remarks, talked himself into an early verdict. He said no one and nothing, not even imprisonment, would have prevented him from destroying the Trump family. And he's handcuffed to the defense table, folks. And he glared at the panel and said he would topple the Trump empire, building by building, brick by brick. And he won't rest until every Trump supporter was behind bars or dead. And that's a direct quote from him. "Then I'll take care of the people here in this place," McAfee said, yelling at the admiral there in the tribunal courthouse. And then Admiral Stevens says, Mr. McAfee, I'm told you are of sound mind and know where you are. Is that correct?" Admiral Stevens asked. And McAfee replied, "I'm in a kangaroo court in the Banana Republic of Trump, staring at a guy who can't hack it in the real world, can't run a private practice, get a partnership, or sit on a real bench. So he went into the military," McAfee said, looking at the prosecutor, Admiral Stevens. The admiral continued his questioning and held his cool. And I quote, he says, "Have you ever heard of Trump derangement syndrome, Mr. McAfee?" end quote. The admiral asked, "Because you have the worst case I've seen, and we have seen several." And then McAfee responded. He said, "Trump is finished. He'll be in jail soon. And when he is, your house of cards collapses," says McAfee. And then the admiral said, "It might seem that way, but it only seems that way," the admiral responded. "You might as well find me guilty. I'll never stop hating Trump. And I'll never stop working to demolish everything he stole. He's born guilty. He'll be guilty until the day he dies. And there'll only be one word on his gravestone: guilty," McAfee shouted. The lead panelist on the three-officer panel, Marine Corps Major, politely interrupted. He said, "Admiral, sir, we don't have to hear any more. McAfee mocks this court, and we find him guilty of the treason charge. Additionally, we are in agreement that he should hang for his crimes." Admiral Stevens nodded very contemplatively and said, "I side with those findings, officers, and Mr. McAfee, you are hereby sentenced to hang for treason against the United States of America. His execution is scheduled for May 15th. Well, they thought they've seen it all, but McAfee really, that was really a different one. "Free speech and the right to bear arms are our first and most fundamental rights." I mean, even McAfee had his right to speak his mind. But, you know, when you think about our First and Second Amendment, with that in mind, the United States Marines on Monday, April 29th, arrested Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenbaum on treason charges arising from unequivocal proof that the anti-Second Amendment Attorney General had unconstitutionally petitioned law enforcement in Oregon to conduct wellness checks on registered firearm owners in Grant, Baker, and other Republican-heavy counties, conservative bastions in a vividly progressive state, which is mostly blue, but she chose the ones that were Republican and red. Rosenbaum is a radical liberal Democrat who held office between 2012 and her arrest Monday morning. Her tenure was spent on a single twisted agenda, depriving Oregonians of their Second Amendment right to bear arms. In furthering that goal, she in 2022 co-authored ballot measure 114, which, though still in litigation, bans the use, possession, and manufacturing or transfer of ammunition magazines over 10 rounds and requires a permit to purchase or transfer a firearm and requires law enforcement to maintain a registry of gun owners' personal identification contained in the permit application, including applicant's legal name, current address and phone number, date and place of birth, physical description, fingerprints, pictures, and any other additional information determined necessary by law enforcement. Moreover, Rosenbaum encouraged fanatical attorney generals to prosecute persons involved in self-defense shootings. She told them, make them go to prison. That's what she did. And this is in Oregon. Well, January 2024, she complained to Governor Tina Kotek, an equally reprehensible individual who currently is under White Hat investigation, that anti-gun legislation was processing too sluggishly. Rosenbaum was complaining to the governors, processing too sluggishly for anti-guns. And Kotek, the governor, said she, too, penned for Gun-Free Oregon, but she said that her immediate priority was to expand the LGBTQ plus rights in the state. You know, Kotek is a self-admitted lesbian and suspected transsexual. She told Rosenbaum she'd hop on the anti-Second Amendment agenda when time allowed. But Rosenbaum was an impatient woman. As an attorney general, she was so urgent was her desire to purge Oregon of civilly owned firearms, she embarked on an aggressive unilateral crusade replete with blunders. Her first mistake was bullying rural sheriffs who took their constitutional oath seriously. Her second mistake was not intuiting that some of those sheriffs had friends in the armed forces, among them a prominent 75th Ranger Regiment officer at Fort Moore, Georgia. So General Smith gets his officer's call. He tells the general that this witch of a woman, AG in Oregon, is on a power trip commanding sheriff's departments to in Central Oregon to take up an excuse to grab guns from his constituents. And we're not even talking about AR-style rifles, just this is any firearm. She meant hunting rifles, pistols, too. She sounded more like FEMA and ATF than an attorney general. Anyway, the officer pressed the info to General Smith, and Camp Pendleton says he'll consider it a personal favor if his soldiers could arrest the traitor, my source in General Smith's office revealed. He added that General Smith ordered the Ranger to hold fast until he consulted with Vice Admiral Crandall at JAG. The Admiral told General Smith, if Rosenboom harassed one sheriff, she'll probably harass other sheriffs, and asked him to discreetly probe other departments to determine the scope of Rosenbaum's treason and her harassment of sheriffs, etc. And General Smith said, discretion isn't exactly my specialty, he told Admiral Crandall, but we'll work on it. We'll take care of that on our side, and I'll take and get back to you in touch, the Admiral replied. And JAG quickly uncovered Rosenboom's pervasive pattern of bias. She had tyrannized six, if possibly more, departments, sheriff's departments, led by conservative pro-Second Amendment sheriffs. The interesting thing is JAG found no evidence that Rosenbaum imposed her will on counties with heavy liberal demographic. In other words, she left the blue counties alone. My source said, and Admiral Crandall agreed with General Smith, that Rosenblum was guilty of treason and was too dangerous to remain at large. She was too dangerous for any of the red counties, that's for sure. On April 29th, a Marine reconnaissance squad arrested Rosenblum as she stepped outside of the front door of her Salem home. The malicious hag flew into a fit of rage, flailing her arms and swiping at Marines with her pressed-in nails. Her tumultuous uproar and tirade ended abruptly when she got hit to the ground. A Marine slugged her in the face so hard her glasses flew off her face. Well, she's not a woman, okay? She's a tranny, all right? Anyway, I digress. All right, so Marines found a .38 pistol in her purse and a Glock 42 pistol, 9mm, in her glove box. Left-wing double standard again. So, the typical rules for thee, but not for me, mental hypocrisy, my source said. Getting rid of the little fish benefits society. Her days of terrorizing are over. Rosenbaum was scheduled to retire from office at the end of 2024, but now she will retire at the spa or Guantanamo Bay, as the spa, as my military friends say. Well, I want to go on further with the help of Jeff Reynolds and his April 30th article in Restoration America. I wanted to bring you the proof that big money is behind this AstroTurf pro-Hamas campus riots. You've heard about all these campus riots. All of a sudden, boom, within 2 days, they sprang up at, you know, dozens of colleges, not just 12, but dozens, you know, 14, 15, 18 colleges all and universities all across America, just boom, out of nowhere, they sprang up. Well, the pro-terrorist occupations and protests have exploded across America college campuses, and coincidentally, as final exams approach. Many have asked how these Hamas-loving protesters seem so organized and coordinated and well-supplied, you know, with tents and all wearing the same outfits and so forth, you know, and all on different campuses. The source of funding and strategy has been an open question as tent cities and occupations pop up simultaneously in universities across the country. Reports have begun to emerge that indicate the usual suspects have coordinated everything from tents to strategies and to direct cash payments to the agitators, paid actors, okay? To the agitators, paid agitators. The echoes that the paid coordinated riots had occurred in 2020, another presidential election year after the death of George Floyd and the rise of Black Lives Matter. Those were all, you know, set up of riots just instantly happening all over. The networks extend further than that, however, and may include foreign governments and terrorist organizations intent on destabilizing the West. So who's funding the pro-Hamas protests? Well, I'm going to tell you. Yeah, I got it all. I got the smoking gun. You got it. The usual suspects include George Soros, Open Source Society Foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, Tides Foundation, and other far-left nonprofits, and just know Radical Tammy Baldwin is Hamas' best friend in the Senate. We can also learn that Representative Eloise Stefanik, Republican of New York, what she posted on X and Twitter, quote, George Soros is trying to fund the downfall of America by funding and buying elections for radical far-left politicians and corrupting the next generation to support terrorist groups, end quote, on her tweet on X. Independent journalist Ian Miles Chilgun elaborated on X, noting that U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, the USCPR, gets funding from not only the Open Source Foundation, but also from Rockefeller Brothers Fund. So we got two people tweeting publicly where they're coming from. Plus, we have also proof of bank account records. Other independent journalists report that the Soros-backed pro-Hamas campus occupations have a month's worth of food and supplies outside agitators from off-campus, paid by Soros and aligned groups, have deliberately turned the occupations violent. They've got snipers, like we see paid activists do on Emory University campus. Dr. Johnny has confirmed that half of those arrested at the University of Texas at Austin were outside agitators. They're not even from Texas. Yeah, those arrested, they're causing the most trouble, aren't even from Texas, on the University of Texas campus in Austin. The Soros-centered galaxy of nonprofits has a long history of funding pro-Palestinian causes. The Tides Center and the Tides Foundation, two charities that have spent $4 billion, that's with a B, on social change for decades. The fund, the Alliance for Global Justice, you know, according to the Washington Examiner, this charity has ties to the Palestinian terrorism, that is the Alliance for Global Justice, AFGI. Newly filed 2022 tax forms show that the Tides Foundation and the Tides Center combined to steer more than $303 $1,000 to the Alliance for Global Justice, a charity in Arizona, revealed that through the Washington Examiner investigation to maintain ties with the Palestinian terrorism. And those grants add to the millions of dollars that have flowed in recent years from Tides to the AFGI, which this year alone saw a swath of payment processors and liberal foundation cut ties with the nonprofit group. So they lost some of their funding because they're trying to, you know, get people to donate to these causes. But when they found out what they're doing, then their donations cut off. So, you know, legal experts have accused AFGI of providing material support to terrorism in violation of federal law because it sponsors the Samadan Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, an Israeli-designed terror group that has shared staffers with PFLP, that's People for the Liberation of Palestine. Another reason is that the AFGI recently raised money from the Collective Palestinian Valkyra. You can't even keep up with all these different organizations trying to collect money and trying to, you know, pay for these paid agitators. And then the Salaam Coalition member described on its website as a partner of the PFLP, the People's Liberation of Palestine. On the heels of October 7th, the Collective Palestine Vectura and the Samadun have been mobilizing protesters against Israel on the social media and posting event flyers and so forth. Samadun was banned in Germany in October after its activists reportedly passed out candy to people in the celebration of terror, while German authorities last week raided four properties related to the Sodomen, according to Reuters. Tides also funds WSPAC Foundation, which sponsors anti-Israeli demonstrations and campaigns on behalf of imprisoned terrorists, and the WASPAC, you know, stands for Westchester People's Action Coalition Foundation. They have lent their fiscal sponsorship to Within Our Lifetime, another organization, and the U.S. Palestinian Community Network, which allows these organizations to skip federal tax filings. So they're trying to, you know, skip all the red tape, not have to pay taxes, and just get the funds right to these paid agitators. Several of the pro-Palestinian organizations, including Within Our Lifetime and U.S. Palestinian Community Network, do not have public tax filings. However, they and several other groups use progressive nonprofit group based in New York called Westchester People's Action Coalition Foundation, or WESPAC, as their fiscal sponsor to collect and process online donations, which has a U.S. tax law allows nonprofit, you know, 501c3 status to collect money on behalf of smaller groups and not have to pay taxes because it's tax-free as a foundation, nonprofit. Like many of the radical leftist philanthropy organizations, Tide receives significant taxpayer funding. In a separate report, Washington Examiner notes Tides has received at least $81 million in federal subsidies, that's your taxpayer dollars, in subwards and other public grants since 2006. You heard me right. Your taxpayer dollars are paying for this disruption on our campuses. WESPAC also funds Students for Justice in Palestine, one of the main groups organized the pro-Hamas protests and occupations on college campuses. This is all orchestrated, folks. This is not one student getting upset in a college. This is all orchestrated. Yeah, and they had it happen right during final exams. An environmental nonprofit called the Sunrise Movement has received funding from Tides as well. Sunrise dedicates itself to building a movement of young people to stop climate change. Sunrise has also made demands for an Israeli ceasefire in Gaza. They even created a toolkit to stand in solidarity with Palestinians and their allies. So they got, you know, everybody's in on it. They got all these groups in on it. But, folks, it gets worse. I'm telling you. I can't make this stuff up, folks. I'm just giving it straight to you at the facts. Okay? Big Philanthropy teams up with the NFL. Oh, yeah. To support Hamas. Oh, yeah. Big Philanthropy isn't the only source of funds used by the pro-terrorist rioters. America's most popular professional sports league, the National Football League, the NFL, funds a wide network of social justice initiatives in its Inspire Change initiative. That network includes community justice exchanges. It's all part of this GEI and all part of the social justice social governance thing for big organizations. They have to comply by. All right, so the NFL is in on it too. It funds a wide network of social justice initiatives and its Inspire Change initiative. So that's a separate little group within the NFL that runs all these donations. That network includes the Community Justice Exchange, which funds bail, court fees, fines, and legal defense for protesters arrested while blocking bridges and freeways during pro-Hamas A15 protests organized in cities all over the United States on April 15th. The Community Justice Exchange, along with bailing out terrorists, sympathizing protesters, works to end cash bail and pretrial detention as well as immigration detention. Like I said, most of these folks are flown in. They're not from Texas. They're not from Yale. You know, they're brought in and they get, you know, agitate, you know, those people on campus that are Palestinian. Well, you know, maybe one had an exam, but they got them so upset about all this that they skipped out on their exam, so they're really disrupting. But then the NFL's on it. Not exactly the most patriotic effort for the NFL to support. This is all part of going woke. The Community Justice Exchange also gets funding from Tides and uses the Act Blue for its online fund efforts. This is like a consortium of collection type of organizations. This Act Blue, you know that's left wing, Act Blue. Now, the New York Post has reported extensively on the far left funding sources and coordination of the campus protest. Students for Justice in Palestine, SJP, is the major national organizer for these organizations and these occupations. And SJP gets much of its funding through the Soros and Open Source Foundation, as well as Rockefeller Brothers Fund. The other two radical pro-Palestinian groups receiving similar funding are Jewish Voice for Peace, JVP, and Within Our Lifetime, which is the other organization. JVP came under fire in 2017 for having a convicted terrorist speak at one of its events. According to the Post, all these three groups have also received funding from Felice Gilman. And Gilman, a retired investment banker, dedicates her massive fortune to pro-Palestinian causes. Foreign governments and terrorist ties also are showing up in these funding network extends far beyond just these examples I've given you so far. That includes This also includes foreign governments. Qatar funded Human Rights Watch to the tune of $3.75 million just in 2018. The Associated Press, the AP, reports all these groups have extensive ties to the movement known as BDS, the Anti-Semitic Boycott, Divest, and Sanction of Israeli Campaign, an organization called NGO Monitor, because it released a report showing deep ties between radical nonprofits and student groups and terrorist organizations. So there's a whole bunch of them in on it. I can't make this stuff up, folks. The list is long. I'm trying to give you the sum or the summary of the list. But anyway, these organizations have maintained both influential and radical friends. The NGO Monitor explained its new report released Thursday, noting that JVP, a fringe anti-Israel group, has often joined forces to coordinate events with the SJJP, which has received hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. Other donors at JVP, including the Open Source Policy Center and the Kaplan Foundation, and many others. So I could go on about all this. I think you get my point. This terrorism that's going on our college campus is all very well organized. And, you know, it's ripe for lawsuits, which will all follow. At least one lawsuit's already resulted after the Department of Education denied open records requests on foreign extremists agitating the campus occupations. America First Legal sued after the Department of Education denied their request to know which and how many students in America on the F-1 visas took part in the demonstrations. Well, most of them aren't from America that took part, that instigated these demonstrations. And they were, the Department of Education, wouldn't give that information out. You know, they denied the open records requests from America's First Legal. America's First Legal noted that this, it and its thread in X, they said in some cases Hamas terrorism was sanctioned and promoted by university staff and administrators. They further observed that the United States law prohibits advocacy and other material support for Hamas. Foreigners here on F-1 student visas who risk deportation, see, because if they were to give them out the names, they could have deported those terrorist students right away. The protests and the occupation have broken out since October 7th, clearly have their foundations in organizations that wish to see America and the West defeated. Many of them explicitly state that their support for terrorist acts and the defeat of the United States by any means necessary, that's what they say, quote, by any means necessary, it's time to deal with the financial network, the material support, and advocacy for terrorism in the appropriate way. Sadly, though, it appears the pro-Hamas and anti-Israel sentiments will fuel the next wave of nationwide riots this presidential election year, just like the BLM, you know, Black Lives Matter and the George Floyd riots did in 2020. That's exactly why they were doing that, is to disrupt the 2020 election. Well, Right News reports that the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security data, confirms that President Biden is trying to take over red states by flooding them with illegal voters. Oh, yeah. It's no secret that Joe Biden has been flooding America with illegal immigrants, but newly obtained data exposes exactly what the Democrats are really up to, and it's terrifying. The Department of Homeland Security, the DHS, data reveals that hundreds of thousands of illegals have been flown into more than 45 U.S. cities through a disturbing program which Biden set up to make it easier for America to be invaded. The program fast-tracks migration to America from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela, giving it the nickname of the, well, I'm not going to say the nickname on the air. All right. This initiative is unveiled back in January of 2023, and the regime claimed it would put into place in order to provide safe and orderly pathways for the United States for up to 30,000 individuals per month. Per month. 30,000 individuals per month. They've been flying them in. Instantly granting them the ability to live and work in the U.S. for at least 2 years. Still, the Biden regime attempted to hide what was really going on here, and it was only after the Center for Immigration Studies revealed that Biden was actually using American taxpayer money to fly these illegals directly into key U.S. cities that we really understand. Now we really understand the gravity of what's going on here. Key U.S. cities, when I say key, it's because those are the swing states and the swing cities. I must be over the target. All kinds of people are trying to disrupt me. But I'll continue. With the CIA's founding filed the Freedom of Information Act, the FOIA lawsuit got more information on this that the Biden regime flat out denied. But now DHS report proves without a doubt that Biden has been targeting red states by flooding them with the illegals, especially the swing states. About 80% of the illegals were flown into Florida, targeting cities such as Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, and Tampa. We got that data because of Ron DeSantis. The data covering the eight-month period during January 2023 to August 2023 shows that nearly 200,000 illegal immigrants were flown into U.S., with Florida receiving about 161,000. That was just during that year, considering that this was just in the first 8 months of the program, but now the regime has likely flown at least another 175,000 to 140,000, of which have been not just Florida, but all over the United States. At the same time, Democrats in the state of Florida are illegal trying to encourage these non-citizens to register to vote in the 2024 election while telling them that Biden is the only one keeping that took him here, that he flew you here, so you got to vote for him. And Trump gets elected, you'll get deported, so they're all going to vote for Biden. It's blatantly obvious that Joe and the rest of the Democrats are despicably and desperately trying to regain control of the former swing state of Florida, which has turned deeply red in recent years. Senator advisor to the president, Trump, Stephen Miller, commented on this, saying Biden is flying illegals en masse in swing states before voting begins, while at the same time the Department of Justice battles against voter ID and his party successfully opposes citizenship verification to vote. If this isn't a criminal conspiracy, you know, the Bidens, they don't want you to show your ID to vote. They want you just to go in and vote, you know. So if this isn't a criminal conspiracy to interfere with U.S. elections, nothing is. And if those are coming across the border, won't that be enough to help the Democrats cheat their way in the victory and have Biden continue to fly illegals directly to American cities? You know, he needs the votes the most, and that's what he's doing. Well, folks, I'm telling you, I've been telling you for the last couple of shows about this green energy deal, you know, and now I'm going to tell you plain and simple how, you know, the green energy and all these electric wind generators and solar cells, you know, and electric cars are all a scam, and they're dangerous. Plain and simple, more electric cars in America, the bigger the threat of our power grid, and you won't have electricity in your house. If you do, it will cost you way too much. Just think about your power bill doubling or tripling every month. Just look at the pronouncements by Joe Biden's administration all coal-fired power generation plants shall be closed in a move to, you know, to make be carbon free, and of course our power grid will collapse. Like I said, they're after me. they're really after me. So we'll keep going my show. I want to continue. I must be over the target, folks. I want to continue the latest news of another week of climate control hysteria, fake news, bad research, more money grabbing, more bureaus being set up to give worthless morons jobs, and then, of course, the unintended consequences that follow, like, you know, electric vehicle con job on the world. And let's not forget a lying energy secretary. But you didn't hear that from Dr. Johnny. You heard it. Let me tell you what this one woman wrote on Facebook. I'm telling you, this is her direct experience. I had to, you know, I can't give you her real name. I'm just going to call her Jill because I can't give you her real name. But I copied it directly as she posted on Facebook. And you know what Dr. Johnny calls EVs, wind generators, and solar cells? The biggest scam in history. Oh, or wait, was that the jab, the vaccine? Oh, dear me, there's so many scams. I can't keep up with them. There's too many lines. I can't keep track of them. But let's just talk about the electric vehicle right now. This is a true life story, real world antidote, what she said. So I got this friend, and she does a lot of traveling. And recently, she was in Oakland, California airport and rented a car. She related that what happened next in Facebook posts republished with her permission, of course. I'm just going to call her Sally, okay? That's going to be her name. So here's what she wrote. She goes, my SUV wasn't ready at the budget rent-a-car in Oakland, California airport last Thursday, so they offered me an all-electric Mustang Mach-E at no additional charge. They saw sucker written on my forehead, and they weren't wrong, she said. This is what she posted in Facebook. She wrote a whole post with pictures and everything. So I'm going to continue what Sally said. Not only did they give zero instruction on how the rolling computer and the computer initiative features work, like one pedal driving, it wasn't fully charged either. When I asked the lot attendant, he said, oh, no problem. You're at 82%. You've got plenty of power. There are plenty of power, you know, chain charging stations everywhere. Well, I liked learning new things, but how bad could it be? Okay, 80% charge. First, it drove nicely, smooth. It was powerful. I was going 75 on the freeway easily. But when I used nav, I took a phone call, and it had a restart the nav and the rookie mistake or something, and I spent time on YouTube trying to figure it out, you know, trying to get instructions on how the nav works on this, you know, Mustang electronic vehicle. I saw a charging station at the gas station near my hotel, so I figured, okay, I'll be okay. 2 days before leaving, I checked out the gas station charger. I had driven 126 miles and gone from 82% to 37%. Bummer. Their charging station wasn't compatible with a Ford. That's a real double bummer, she says. So she couldn't get her electronic Ford charged there at the charging station near her hotel. So back to YouTube, it showed up a button on the car that I could push to tell me where all the charging stations are. They came up several towns away in several directions, but I see there's a small Ford dealer in town. Aha! I called and they agreed to let me come in for a charge. So, okay, I got that taken care of. As I settled in with a book in the waiting room of the Ford place, David comes to tell me, the service manager, it's going to take 5 to 6 hours to get it fully charged. And this is at the Ford dealer. So Leon agrees to drive me to my family house nearby. Almost 5 hours later, they called saying it's languagely at only 75%, and it could take another 3 to 4 hours. But they're closing. But we'll leave your car on the charger, and if I can get a ride back to the dealer, I will arrive, 3 hours later, and, it's fully charged. So she goes, okay, no problem. Next morning, I drove from Brentwood to Oakland Airport, about 40 miles, and it's down 81%. 81%? I just charged it. I only drove 40 miles, she said. No EVs in my future. The heck with that. I won't be the sucker any other time after this. No next time for me on an EV. I suppose the mistakes happened long before she got to the airport. But when the Ford decided to destroy the Mustang in the first place, because they're having a hard time getting their electronic cars going in Ford. They're not selling well, okay? So I just... we're coming to our break, and I just want to let you know that is an absolute true story. So not all charging stations will charge all electric vehicles, okay? They may only charge a Tesla, or they may only charge a Chevy Volt, So, the electronic vehicles are a problem. Plus, they're dangerous. Plus, all the electromagnetic energy that you experience when you're sitting in them. You might as well be next to a 5G tower that's 5G is going up. Because when you go on high speeds on the interstate and you've had the vax, it's going to turn on that nanotechnology of graphene oxide in your body. Need I say more? Please, don't go with an electric vehicle. Dr. Johnny urges you. They're not healthy. And don't live near a wind generator. That's not healthy either. And don't get solar cells. You'll be ripped off from the word go. Just wait till it breaks. You won't ever get it fixed. And you won't ever keep the right... I'll be right back with more details after these messages.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
and we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world, the best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. And the magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's hyphen thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to The Master Survivor Beyond PhD, and this is your host, Dr. Johnny. I want to get back to more about the electric cars and Sally's story in just a little bit, but first I want to tell you a little bit about the Master Survivor University and how it came about. It came about from the ancient Greek ways of health practices from Hippocrates and others, and the concept of physics was first proposed by Hippocrates, who changed Heraclitus to theocratic. Before it was all based on superstition, you know, how to heal and, you know, doing bunch of, you know, curse, you know, doing a bunch of dances or whatever, but he took it to a whole another level. See, he wanted to use it and take it into rational discipline, okay? The basic structure of the Asclepian traditions in Kos, which is an island, points to the fact that Hippocrates believed in holistic health care model. A holistic healthcare model. And in his school, science met with drug therapy, diets, and physical and mental exercise, as well as divine solicitation. Furthermore, the Asclepian Skeplians of Kos offered all patients general treatment that included physical exercise, massage, walks considered necessary to restore health, well-being of the soul and inner peace of mind, and using dreams both for diagnostic and therapeutic reasons. To achieve the desired therapeutic result, the therapist should have prior understanding of the concept of soul and its distinction from the body according to the Platonic trisection of the soul. Stress was minimized and harmony was restored. And to learn these greater secrets, I talk all about that in the Master Survivor University, and how we do. You know, if you want to become a Master Survivor doctor, well, then you can go to the Master Survivor University. And one of the main aspects of the Master Survivor University is learning about the greater secrets in the Master Survivor program. And what's different today as compared to ancient Greek days or even just 30 or more years ago is all the toxic exposure from chemicals in the air, food, and water, as well as electronic pollution nearly all people experience today on a daily basis. Folks, what I'm telling you about these electric cars, and if you live near wind generators, that's not healthy. You're getting all this electromagnetic energy. If you live near a cell phone tower, that's not healthy. I'm just saying, we get so many different types of pollution, but all these pollutions narrow down and cause one major thing, and that's a severe state of stress. Our modern age promotes stress as the norm. However, in reality, it is the root of all diseases. Harmony becomes out of reach when you have too much stress. It does not have to be this way. Now, if we can cut back our electromagnetic exposure and we can cut back on all the chemicals we're eating and drinking, you know, like I got some patients, they say, well, I still like my beer on Friday night, Dr. Johnny. I said, okay. If you're going to drink beer, then go with the craft beer, you know, Samuel Adams or O'Doul's, or, you know, because those don't have all the chemicals in. Just avoid Bud Light or Michelob or any of the brand names, because those have too many chemicals in them. Anyway, I digress. You know, we got to narrow back and scale back all our chemicals. So that's just one aspect of it. And no, it's easier to do than most people think. You know, you think, oh, I can't do that or I can't do that. But, you know, when he started drinking just craft beer on Friday night, he says, oh, no, we have a local brewery. I said, well, go drink that. If you're going to drink Friday night, I get together with the office, you know, all the gang, and we have a few beers. I said, all right, drink the craft beer. Well, he's been doing so much better on a few of these changes. Many people do not make the connection also with electromagnetic waves from their modern devices like a microwave oven or electronic cars. But they are actually bringing on more stress, and over time, cancer, dementia, Parkinson's, gosh, the list is so long. You know, 5G and a whole Internet of Things comes loaded with electromagnetic burden and exposure on our bodies and our neurological system. The stress is the result and making them age faster and over time develop many different forms of disease. This is just a fact. I see it all the time. Because of this, I'm trying to get some of my patients and family members to quit using microwave ovens. Some of them actually know that microwaves are dangerous, but they keep heating their food and drink with the microwaves anyway. And many of them just say, well, I'll just nuke it. I'll just get it warm and nuke it. That's quick. But yes, and on top of that, they keep eating unhealthy foods, okay? So, you know, and they have all kinds of health problems. So how does anyone learn? Maybe it's just willful ignorance. How, you know, Dr. Johnny, you know, how can I help these patients? But just know that over time, that a microwave oven and that electric car, you know, if you keep using them, you keep driving an electric car and you keep using a microwave oven, it will be your doom. And they will never have their mind under their control, because the first thing it goes is that neurological network. Microwaves will not only damage your brain, but also your liver. And sadly, I see microwave ovens used in mainstream medicine. And every hospital, I'll wager, probably has a microwave oven on every floor. To me, this is defeating the purpose of bringing good health, and their use, you know, in the microwave oven is just harmful. Our lives are also bombarded by visual pollution by the advertising media. When I say visual pollution, we see the chemtrails in the sky. You see them playing tic-tac-toe all the time. Well, eventually that gets into our body. So, you know, how can we cure, you know, problems from all these diseases, you know, that are caused by this? Well, it's a really hard push, but the bottom line is, you know, people, you know, will just have to stop certain things. But once they do, then, you know, they'll have a lot more success. And that's why many of my patients, I said, well, this is tough love. You know, you have to get rid of your microwave oven, you know. You know, when you talk on the cell phone, try to put it on speakerphone. Don't hold it right up to your ear, you know. And as a master survivor, I don't think my body wants more chemicals, wants microwaves. It wants wholesome meals and nutrition. I know I feel better when I eat those foods that are free of chemicals, and I know my patients do better. Maybe that's why I felt so good and have so many good memories visiting my grandma when I was a little kid. Everything on her dinner table was from her garden. I knew it because I went out there and picked the squash and dug up the onions and everything, got eggs from the chickens and everything. She did all her gardening like her daddy taught her, and today we'd classify that as gardening organically. Well, I am Johnny Delirious, master survivor and liver health expert, and the key is not to burden the liver with chemicals and not to burden your mind with those electromagnetic energy. It's to keep it balanced and healthy. Long ago, they called it the liver because it helps us live, and in our modern times, the appreciation for this important organ and its simple maintenance to be healthy has been lost. I rediscovered this simple maintenance, how the liver could save my life when I was at my lowest ebb, because it was the one thing that was going to kill me, was that all that hepatitis and cirrhosis in my liver. The information on my Master Survivor show, Beyond PhD, are for the fighters who are serious about good liver health in the tough times. So, you know, you can go to TheMasterSurvivor.com, TheMasterSurvivorUniversity.com, it's all the same. And you can get the show, you can like look at the university there and sign up for the university, or more importantly, you can sign up for the Master Survivor Program, which is number one under the Master Survivor Program. But much of our society today is being taught that not to think on your own. You don't want, you know, to be thinking on your own. Recently at a prepper expo that I went to, I heard the expression, they're just dumbing us down, he said. The guy said to me, they don't want us to think on our own. And ironically, that really got me pondering. One good reason I found that convinces me that that is true is when I was remembering in primary school book, you know, I was, I don't know, fourth or fifth grade, third grade or something. I was visiting my grandmother, and she showed me a primary school book that my mother had. You know, this is what my grandmother showed, and I was very young, but it was from the 1920s when my mother went to elementary school, you know, because she was born in 1917. She went to elementary school in the late 20s or the mid 20s. Anyway, but it's called the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And she said, I was just at the right age to start that book. I couldn't believe how difficult that book was. The sentence structures and the concepts were more complex than Al was used to, and the math problems were really hard too. And there are no pictures, no sidebars, you know, with this book. And gosh, frankly, I gave up on it. I just couldn't do it. During those times growing up, I just followed the latest trend in school because it was the new, whatever the new thing was. And more as I got older, I learned that in order to stay out of trouble, we were supposed to just comply and eventually, essentially just become society of robots, and keeping up with the new ideas was something to keep to yourself in order not to be ridiculed or stay out of trouble. But ridicule actually saved me. You know, maybe my prepper friend was right at the expo, you know, and society is dumbed down, but not Dr. Johnny. Looking back, once I became a teenager, I thought I knew more than my parents, and these were the rebellious 1960s, and I was against the Vietnam War, and if I got a low number on my selective service card, my draft card, then I would just join the branch of armed forces, because that way I'd have my choice, because I'd just join right away, and then I could choose my career and choose what I wanted to do, because if I had a low number, and I just waited for them to draft me, then they would just put a gun in my hand, and I'd be another ground stomper, and I didn't want that, because even in the world in those days, nothing made sense to me, just follow along like a bunch of sheep. Well, I began to question everything when I began to question the Vietnam War. Now, being a master survivor, everything is so clear. For any health issue, there are many natural and good remedies that Dr. Johnny is here to help you understand and solve your problem. And you can email me anytime and ask me about a natural solution for your health issue. Just go to themastersurvivor.com, or you can just send me a note, you know, go to my website, themastersurvivor.com, click on the consultation tab or the, you know, contact tab, and I'll be happy to point out the right direction and perhaps also provide you some solutions. And it all came out of the Master Survivor University. So just go to my website, themastersurvivoruniversity.com, and click on the blue consultation tab, send me a note, and I will write you straight back with your answers. No problem. So that's all I do. I don't sell any bunch of products. I just sell a laboratory test. I've been doing that for over 40 years, folks. $226, a laboratory test to test your hair so I can reveal to you your chemistry, what's going on in your body, so I can provide a roadmap for your recovery. That's all I sell. Otherwise, I just do my show every Sunday right here on Revolution Radio at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'll get back to Sally and her electric vehicle experience. She didn't want an electric vehicle, not after that Ford that she couldn't get charged enough, and it just put her out so bad. With time and everything else, you drive a distance in an electric car and you run out of power quick. And then where are you going to recharge it? If you're out in the middle of nowhere, can't just recharge it in any old gas station. They won't let you plug it in. No way. You know, you'll be sitting there a long time. And so Dr. Johnny wants to, I don't want an electric vehicle. But that does not mean that they will not dominate our highways soon. I couldn't believe this story I found. Ben Solis, an international affairs journalist and historian and researcher, who just penned an article, and the title of the article is Chinese Electric Vehicles, Chinese EVs Could Decimate the U.S. Auto Industry, and it was published April 30th, 2024. and it has an eye-opening insight into how the Biden administration is destroying our auto industry. This is according to him, and this guy is a very astute historian, researcher, and journalist. And I'll continue with his article. He's saying, in late March, the corporate media pounced on former President Trump's comment that second Biden term would be a bloodbath for American auto manufacturers, falsely claiming that Trump said there'd be violence in the street if he loses this fall. Well, that's not what Trump was talking about at all. He said, if Biden wins, it'll be a bloodbath for American auto manufacturers. So Trump, because Biden's going to bring in and make everybody have an electric car. Okay? So that means no more. Anyway, so I'll continue with this article. While the media was busy misconstruing Trump's words, they completely ignored his warning for the U.S. auto industry. He writes, Ben Solis writes, but just a few weeks later, Trump is already being proven correct. According to reporting from Reuters, April 24th, despite President Joe Biden's promises to revise the American automobile industry and keep Chinese vehicles off the U.S. streets, he did a whole 180, a made in Chinese electric vehicle will hit dealership lots for the first time this summer. Volvo, a Swedish company owned by Chinese firm Geely, will begin selling Chinese-made EX30s and electric vehicle SUVs this year for about $8,000 less than Tesla's Model Y, currently the world's best-selling SUV. Although Chinese vehicles are supposed to face a 27.5% tariff in the U.S. market, Volvo is likely to be eligible for tax refunds because it has some manufacturing operations in South Carolina. Moreover, thanks to Biden's 2022 Inflation Reduction Act, the EX30 could be eligible for a $7,500 tax credit, further undercutting U.S. brands like Ford and GM, which are already struggling to sell their electric vehicles. Geely and other Chinese electric vehicle manufacturers have notably received lucrative subsidies, that's your taxpayer dollars, from, you know, the Chinese government. You know, from their own government, but then they also have subsidies allowing them to undercut the U.S. and European countries. According to recent report, the Alliance for American Manufacturing, the introduction of Chinese-made electric vehicles like the EX30 could end up being an extinction-level event for the whole U.S. auto sector altogether. And I'll quote it again. He said, quote, could end up, you know, being an extinction level event for the whole U.S. auto sector. Just this EX30 could put them out of business because they won't be selling, and Tesla won't be selling any of their SUVs either. While Chinese companies are ready to flood the American market with cheap electric vehicles, American brands have struggled to sell electric vehicles at home and abroad, according to the most recent sales data from China Passenger Car Association. Tesla and GM both saw declining sales in the first quarter of 2024. Ford and GM are also scaling back their production of electric vehicles for the U.S. market. Dr. Ralph Berschweger, a former advisor to the Federation of German Industries, told that Trump's warning about Chinese EVs are exactly correct. It will ruin the American auto manufacturer because, see, that hits the German automakers too when they're outselling undercutting everything else. And I quote, yes, undoubtedly, it could be a bloodbath for all of American industry, not just car makers, he said. And I quote, manipulative currency depreciation, product price manipulation, subsidies from non-transparent financial institutions, and cheap yuan allows China to protect its domestic car market while increasing the profitability of exports at the expense of Western firms, end quote. The current situation in Europe presents a stark warning for the U.S. about the dangers of the flood of Chinese EVs. Germans are feeling the pinch, folks, and boy, we're going to feel it too in Detroit. Prior to the emergence of the Chinese EV companies, any European company looking to enter the Chinese market was forced to form joint venture with a Chinese company, as Swedish professor Borjan Sjergestad explained. This resulted in just countless transfer of the know-how and capital critical for production. So all the European and smarts went to the Chinese companies, just like they did to the Japanese companies earlier on in the 60s and 70s. Volvo said perfectly illustrates this strategy, along with opening the first production plant in Kaohsiung-do in 2013, Volvo has already shared nearly all expertise with Chinese partners as the law required, he said, explaining that in about 7 years, Chinese business leaders had formed a new car-producing firm that almost entirely drew upon Sweden's hard-won mastery and proficiency. Now Chinese firms are flooding the European market with cheap electric vehicles subsidized by Chinese government. Unsurprisingly, their sales skyrocketed in Europe, with competitors being knocked out, and Europe is limited tools left to deal with it, pun intended, because, you know, who can fix them but Chinese people, you know. So new analysis from the policy group Transport and Environment suggests that China will produce 25% of all electric cars for sale in European Union in 2025. Chinese brands such as MG and BYD already control 20% of the European market share. European leaders are now scrambling. They're scared to stop the bloodbath in their own auto industry, but it may be too late. The EU is even considering a 25% retroactive tariff that would attempt to force Chinese firms to pay for prior sales as a solution to European car companies cut hundreds of jobs. Industry experts have warned that China has already launched plans to circumvent U.S. tariffs by building assembly plants in Mexico. Without a more aggressive approach to trade policy, Chinese automakers could soon enjoy the same hold on American market that they have in Europe. Despite the urgency of the threat, however, the Biden administration has been slow to respond. Well, go figure. Dr. Brauswegger told me that, you know, this is the writer, he's told me that Chinese leaders have used Biden's obsession with creating a so-called green revolution against him, arguing that China's production capacity will support the global energy transition. This, he said, is Biden's Achilles heel. As long as Biden is in office, his climate agenda will provide ample incentive and opportunity for China to infiltrate and undercut the American market. When it comes to automobile manufacturing, the United States is indeed facing a potential bloodbath if Trump does not emerge victorious this November. So let's vote for Trump in November so we won't lose Detroit's automobile industry. We don't want that. But in Dr. Johnny's opinion, this is just one more way they are destroying America But there are dozens of more ways they're destroying the U.S., as I told you about all the Palestinian protests on the college campuses taking place across the country. Well, what if I told you the Biden administration will be flying in the U.S. very soon, refugees from war-torn Gaza? Oh, yeah, Biden's going to be flying in Palestinians. Oh, what could go wrong with there? Just go think about that for a minute. Well, the Biden White House is weighing whether to import some Palestinians from the devastated areas of Gaza. They're already pissed off because they've been blown up. And now he wants to ship them into the United States as refugees for more, according to reports, CBS News obtained internal government documents to reveal several agencies discussing plans to resettle Gazans in the U.S. whose relatives are American citizens or permanent residents. One of those proposals involves using the decades-old United States Refugee Admissions Program to welcome Palestinians with U.S. ties who have managed to escape Gaza and enter neighboring Egypt, according to interagency planning documents. This is what CBS brought out. I'm bringing you the data here, folks. The top U.S. officials have been discussing getting additional Palestinians out of Gaza and processing them as refugees if they had American relatives, the documents show. The plans would require coordination with Egypt, which has so far refused to welcome large numbers of people from Gaza. So, you know, they're telling Egypt, well, that we can just ship them to the United States. Those who pass a series of eligibility, medical, and security screenings would qualify to fly into the U.S. with refugee status, which offers beneficiaries permanent residency, resettlement benefits like housing assistance, and path to American citizenship. Oh, wow. Have you heard of that before? Well, the approximate number of Palestinians, they won't qualify or won't tell what that number would be, but the proposal resettle Palestinian refugees in the United States is a departure from the long-standing U.S. government policy and practice, the outlet reported. But since its inception in 1980, the U.S. refugee program has not resettled Palestinians in large numbers. Dr. Johnny thinks that could change really quick since they're bringing everyone else in. Over the last 10 years, U.S. has resettled over 400,000 refugees fleeing violence from, you know, in the world across the globe. And of those, there are fewer Palestinians, but that number could increase. The proposal also comes as a recent CNN poll shows a whopping 81% of voters under the age of 35 disapprove of Joe Biden's handling of the Israel-Gaza conflict, which also reflects reflected the pro-Palestinian protests on campuses across the country. So Dr. Johnny says, why do we want more angry people in the U.S. right now? They're from Palestine. Well, although this development appears favorable to the Palestinians on face value, the plan seems to align with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu because he wants to get all Palestinians out of the Gaza Strip and all that place. You know, folks, I can't make this stuff up. So Benjamin Netanyahu's all for it, so he's pushing for them to get out of there. Our problem is countries that are ready to absorb them, and we're working on that, Netanyahu said. But the world's already discussing possibilities of voluntary migration and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I don't want to go into all the details about that, but they're trying to get them over here as fast as possible. It needs to be settled, he said, you know, and all that. Dr. Johnny says, why should we help end the war in Israel and just turn around and start a civil war here in the United States? Anyone can, with a half a brain, can figure that out, bringing these angry, and they bring them into, you know, already angry Palestinians. They're angry at Israel, and then they're going to just start revolting all over the place. So go figure. Well, here at home, the White Hats have their hands full, I'm telling you. The White Hats are on it. If you recall, the earthquake near New Jersey Friday on April 5th, well, Dr. Johnny's here to tell you that there's a very ominous cause of that earthquake in April 5th on Friday in New Jersey. A decentralized coalition of active duty and reservist military people, calling themselves the Red Hats, have claimed responsibility for the anomalous 4.8 magnitude earthquake that rocked the tri-state area that early Friday morning. My source in Eric Smith's office revealed, General Eric Smith's office says, oh my God, the Red Hats? Saturday afternoon, General Smith received at his home address a letter supposedly authored by a former protege of General David H. Berger, General Smith's predecessor. White Hats are withholding the author's name until they verify the writer and identify the claims, but the context was straightforward in the letter to General Smith. He said, quote, Obama and the Biden people, the deep state, are not responsible for Friday's earthquake. We are. Who are we? You've embraced a nickname coined by the civilians, White Hats, a color that symbolizes nobility and purity. Well, that's very nice. But you can think of us as Red Hats, a color symbolizing strength, blood, and war. Blood for blood, we had no quarrel with you, General. And in fact, we fight for the same outcome, the annihilation of corrupt, perverted, elected, and appointed officials that started effing up this country the day Clinton was sworn in office. You and I, General Smith, are gladiatorial warriors. We have diametrically opposed ideologies, but we are on the same side. Your forerunner sat idly, talking about General Berger, by his election to go stolen and slow under his nose. And you picked up the mantle, and your friend in Guantanamo Bay lacked the wherewithal to do what must be done swiftly and efficiently. If you can't do the job, then we will. You're my brother in arms, and we won't impede your progress if you don't interfere with ours. If we resolve business before you do, let it be. In either case, justice, constitutional justice, will be served. And know this, my friend, we are fewer in number, but what we lack in numbers, we have in determination. And we are all around you, talking to General Smith. This is a letter directly to General Smith. And I'll continue. I'd ask you to unite with us, but I know enough of you to know you're getting your teeth and gritting your teeth reading this. Now let me explain why we acted, and maybe you'll understand. Part of the letter said, the author, without providing evidence, claimed that the deep state had recently constructed a Hadrian-type collider like CERN's 27-kilometer ring particle accelerator in New Jersey and planned to use it to open up a portal to a dimension bursting with malevolent apparitions whose power the deep state sought. And I'll continue in his letter. It doesn't matter if the collider does what they think it could do. It's dangerous and had to be destroyed. That they secretly finished it just mere miles from one of President Trump's family estates, you know, the Breckmester golf course. So much time, you know, just a few miles away, was no coincidence, he said. It was a message. and my orders, my people infiltrated the underground complex, located the device, deployed the necessary ordnance, and destroyed it before the deep state could bring it online, the letter ended. The author signed the letter, symbolically Colonel Walter Crutz, the main antagonist of Francis Ford Coppola's 1979 film Apocalypse Now, which is based on Joseph Conrad's novella Heart of Darkness. Below his name, the author put a bloody thumbprint and postscript saying, "No war is won without collateral damage." In addition to the letter, the envelope had photographs of the U.S. Rangers who had been sent to investigate the earthquake as they were surveilling the FEMA and ATF agents. And I quote again from the letter, "While we were watching them, someone was watching us," my source said, with pictures of Army Rangers. Obviously, the person who sent the letter isn't named Kurtz, but if the letter passes the smell test, the guy we're talking about is just as dangerous and very dedicated. General Smith does not condone the methods, but admits that he's very dangerous. General Smith, he added, has canceled all leave and recall assets, and we asked our source whether the letter's author was even a member of the White Hat Council. He was silent, and in time, he said, we will report the deep state targets they took out, because they took out more targets as well, and believe me, the deep state is worried. Well, General Smith, key figure in the fight against the deep state, has agreed to a momentous meeting with the enigmatic Colonel Kurtz, the leader of the patriotic splinter cell known as the Red Hats. My source in General Smith's office revealed, and I have decided now to tell my listeners about this because of these latest developments. They took out key targets of the deep state and the Biden administration here in the U.S., and elsewhere, but operate autonomously from the military, but they're highly trained. As reported earlier, the colonel had received a few pieces of correspondence from Kurtz in which he obliquely explained his mission and highlighted his draconian views on the application of force needed to terminally vanquish the deep state. Kurtz also expressed a desire to meet General Smith, air grievances, and reach a mutual understanding. My sources have refused to say whether Kurtz, whose true identity they are guarding, and General Smith have ever worked or had personal dealings. However, an earlier offhand comment from another source revealed that Kurtz was General Berger's protege, suggesting that Kurtz is or was a renowned Marine Corps officer and may have been a former White Hat Council member, though my sources would neither confirm or deny those presumptions. He's had training, and, you know, anyway, regardless, it seems probable that they had a past, more than just a passing acquaintance. And my source said, "I'm not at liberty to share any of that info about who he is or what he's going." And I asked him, I said, "Well, these other guys are saying that he's highly trained. He was an officer." He says, I'm not at liberty to share any of that. I can say that they've agreed to meet and that General Berger set up the meeting," he said. "That's all I can tell you." General Berger, as I detailed, in July of 2023, became a White Hat civilian liaison at Mar-a-Lago once he put General Smith in charge. And so Berger is in charge of the security detail at Mar-a-Lago, which is a bunker. It is a secure bunker. Following his ceremonious retirement from the Corps and having served the nation with pride and honor, General Berger, since 1981 with the genesis of his distinguishing and unblemished career. However, my source said, I'm not authorized to say that General Smith discussed Kurtz with General Berger and President Trump when he went to Mar-a-Lago a few weeks ago, and he sought General Berger's opinion of the man, and he didn't want to get ambushed if he agreed to meet. President Trump suggested that General Berger contacted Kurtz, and he did, and got back to General Smith 2 days later. So Berger and Kurtz have contacted each other. They had conversations, and then General Berger got back to General Smith. General Berger, he added, vouched for Kurtz, calling him honorable, but, quote, unsteady, end quote. As of this writing, the meeting will occur at a neutral location, perhaps this past weekend, and I'll have an update. Both men stipulate the following conditions for the meeting: will arrive unarmed, neither will be armed, no recording devices of any kind, and only two assistants with each man, since they both are officers, meeting officers. On next week's Master Survivor Show, Beyond PhD, I will bring you the details and the outcome of their meeting. And they've met, but I can't reveal that now. They're still discussing what I can say and what I can't. However, there was a prophecy given, the Fatima prophecy in Portugal of, back in 1917 of three girls, seeing the Virgin Mary in the sky and Virgin speaking to her. And they gave her this long Fatima prophecy. And they said that one of the things they said in that prophecy, that Russia would be the new, leader to bring the world into peace. And then in 1935, Edgar Cayce predicted as well that Russia would be the hope of the world by freeing humanity, and I'm quoting from Edgar Cayce, by freeing humanity from the modern-day incarcerations of Son of Belial, the Satan, and had previously brought about the destruction of Atlantis, because they're saying these same deep staters that are causing us all these problems, and worship Satan and all this, they brought about the destruction of Atlantis, according to Edgar Cayce. Known generally as a satanic cult, the Illuminati or Deep State, the Sons of Belial, have manipulated humanity throughout the ages by contriving international conflicts to bring about major destruction through economic collapses and major regional wars. We know from the testimony of General Wesley Clark, from the Supreme Allied Commander of Europe, that in September of 2001, the Deep State planned to bring about the destruction of seven Middle East countries, and I'll name them right now, seven of them: Iraq, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Iran. They planned destruction of these seven countries, was revealed to be part of an insidious deep state satanic plan to manufacture a major regional war, turn it into a world war involving Israel and its neighbors, and would suck the nuclear superpowers in and opposing sides of the Gog and Magog end times war that's talked about in, the prophecies of the Old Testament. The deep state planned for the destruction of Syria, but one major nation intervened in challenging that plan, the Russian Federation, under the leadership of Vladimir Putin. Further deep state machinations involving Ukraine and Iran have also been neutralized by who? The Russian Federation, Vladimir Putin, thus dashing prospects of the end times Gog and Magog war. So Russia came to the rescue three different times when they were trying to promote World War III. April 2024 was the month when planned war with Iran was to break out, happening after Israel's unprecedented strike on Iranian embassy compound in Damascus, Syria. Like a bad omen, Israel's strike and Iran's unexpected retaliation coincided with the peak sunspot activity of our solar system. On April 13th, sunspot activity passed 120 sunspots each day, and from April 17th to April 25th, there passed over 200 daily sunspots. Well, why is that important? Well, studies have shown that major wars consistently break out during peak sunspot activity. Okay? So on April 14th, during this peaking of sunspot activity, Iran retaliated against Israel with an unprecedented direct drone and missile strike. And 5 days later, Israel retaliated with an unprecedented direct drone and missile strike on Iranian territory. Fortunately, Russia intervened to play a critical role in ensuring that Iran remained constrained in its response to Israel's attacks, thereby preventing a major regional war from erupting from all those strikes. Again, Russia stepped in and got Iran to just hold back. No, just hold back. Importantly, positive extraterrestrial groups have been aiding Russia to deal with advanced technologies used by the deep state in making and conducting its plans. Russia also possesses very capable, if small, secret space program that it's been using very effectively to also neutralize deep state moves. This is why there wasn't any big damage from all those drone and missile strikes. They were all deferred or neutralized or whatever, but there's no major damage. So they couldn't have their nuclear war. Well, finally, Russia's elite PSI Corps continues to play a click. That's the secret space program of Russia, PSI. Continues to play a critical role behind the scenes in anticipating neutralizing deep state activities. And I'll bring more developments on my show. But now I want to reveal to you a little more from you from the download. I mean, really, this is from my secret military people. And more accurately described as secret military operations. And I'm getting intel that the Nordics, you know, the tall blondes, are training international military pilots to fly flying saucers. Not just our military pilots, but international military pilots. This is from our contact, U.S. Army officer, U.S. Army JP. We'll just call him JP. But his verbal update, and we have permission to share this information from Dr. Sala and JP. Dr. Sala interviewed JP, and he brings us this update on April 15th when JP traveled to an underground spaceport somewhere in northern Alabama, in the caves up in northern Alabama, that appeared to be very similar to the one he visited in May of 2033. Now, again, you know, when I'm telling you that, you know, Vladimir Putin's working with extraterrestrials, you know, the tall blondes, you know, these Nordics, they're mostly from inner Earth. But anyway, I'm just saying, these are the same Nordics. They're training our pilots as well and other international pilots as well, because JP was part of the mission to bring him to this underground spaceport somewhere in northern Alabama that appeared to be similar to what he visited in 2023 in May. He again saw fleets of saucer-shaped spacecraft being piloted by human-looking Nordic extraterrestrials, They look human, but they're slightly taller, you know, 6 feet, 6'4", 6'5", and blonde hair, blue eyes, and are identical to the ones he witnessed. And he did take photographs back in 2018 while living in Orlando, Florida. So JP says that he and another witness that he went with were accompanied by 30 military pilots from many different nations because they had different uniforms. And he wasn't at liberty to discuss, but he was at liberty to share that this training is going on, but he's not at liberty to discuss which nations are getting this training. But we know the Russians are. They're getting training there in Russia as well. As some, there may have been some Russian pilots here. I can't say that for now. But when they arrived at the underground location, all the pilots left and walked over to a corresponding specific craft and a specific Nordic standing by that craft. So each pilot knew exactly who their trainer was, and they walked over to that ship that Nordic was associated with. And from what I understand, JP said those were the same ships they flew on last time. So each one went to their same ship. So maybe most of the ships are the same, but each pilot had their own individual ship that they're training with, their own individual Nordic space trainee with the trainees. JP was told that the Nordic spacecraft flown by the military pilots from different nations would start showing themselves in a worldwide disclosure initiative very soon. That's what I, end quote, very soon. So what very soon means, I don't know, but JP witnessed them getting in the ship with the Nordic, and the ship would take off, and, you know, some would come back, and then the some that came back had pilots that didn't come with him, you know, on the trip. They were returning because they were done with their training. So they were hopping on the return ride with JP to get, you know, to go back to whatever base they were going to and being dropped off. So this is very telling. And who knows, folks, we may be seeing flying saucers soon that are trained by Nordics up in the skies. So become a Master Survivor, folks. Go to themastersurvivor.com and click on the Master Survivor program and start with number one and let Dr. Johnny help you become a Master Survivor. Have a good week, everybody. Dr. Johnny, over and out.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them. They're gonna kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the game to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power.